National conservation groups have once again given a failing grade to President Bush for environmental stewardship, but the administration gives itself high marks for policies that reject the traditional regulatory approach to environmental protection. Still, free market environmentalists aren't applauding, as NPR's Elizabeth Arnold reports.
If you listen to any one of the hundreds of environmental groups out there, the Bush administration hasn't been at war with just Iraq. Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. of the Natural Resources Defense Council offered this summation at the National Press Club.
He's the worst environmental president that we've ever had because of his deliberate, concerted efforts to dismantle 30 years of environmental law.
But if you listen closely, what Kennedy and others object to is not necessarily the goals of the administration, but rather the methodology. President Bush isn't for dirty air or dirty water, but his approach toward the environment is often portrayed as such.
We can grow our economy and protect the environment at the same time. It's not one or the other. It's both.
In short, that's this president's philosophy toward the environment, that you can have it both ways if you get creative and look past traditional command and control regulation. For example, instead of penalties, financial incentives are given to industry for environmental protection. Jim Connaughton is the executive director of the White House Council on Environmental Quality.
The threat underlying the president's environmental philosophy is to focus on the results that we wish to achieve and work our way back for the most effective policy tools toward achieving them.
Connaughton says the approach is to establish a reasonable goal and find the most expedient way to achieve it. Free market incentives, like credits or tax breaks, for example, for protecting habitat, are favored over regulation.
We have a distinct preference for more market-based approaches that spur innovation and the bringing on board of new technology, and we have a distinct preference that the best answers come locally.
For example, giving a community near a wildfire-prone national forest more of a role in deciding whether and how best to log it, or giving the local mill incentives to process small-diameter trees. William Kovich is Vice President for Environment and Regulatory Affairs for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. He says the benefit is results instead of litigation.
In a market-based situation, what happens, like for mercury, is they actually set a number, 34 tons. The nation will emit 34 tons of mercury next year. Now, some places are going to find it easier to reduce, so they have credits. Other places are going to find it harder, so they buy credits. But at the end, you really get the 34. You may not get it in every single location, but nationwide you get it. What you don't necessarily get is you don't get the chance to punish everyone.
This so-called cap-and-trade approach to mercury is controversial. Opponents worry that while some places will be well within limits, toxic hotspots will build up near others. Adam Werbach is a former Sierra Club president and executive director now of Common Assets Defense Fund, which asserts that corporations are squandering and selling off assets that belong to the public, like air and water. He says 30 years of environmental regulation has led to a cleaner environment.
The assumption that it hasn't been working is a false one.
Environmentalists like Werbach say so-called free market solutions are really a smokescreen for simply easing restrictions.
Industry defines these regulations as burdensome, and that's the problem that they're addressing. But the difference is the Bush administration calls that environmental protection. What that really is customer service work for industry.
But the administration is criticized from both sides. Jerry Taylor, a natural resources specialist at the libertarian Cato Institute, says the same free market approach hasn't been applied, for example, to loosen the government's grip on public lands.
Let's assume that they realize politically they can't go there, but one thing they can do is maybe privatize the decisions about how to use resources on federal lands. One way they might want to do that is to allow environmentalists to purchase grazing permits from ranchers and then do what they will with those grazing permits, or to allow environmentalists or conservationists to purchase water rights in California. All of those things would be very market-oriented. All of them would introduce a tremendous amount of economic sanity to land use decisions in the West, but they don't lift a finger to do it.
Cato says that's because the administration is beholden to special interests like farmers and ranchers, a political base in the West. The White House points to Congress, not political strategy, to explain the inconsistency.
Whenever you endeavor to create change and to go against the standard practice, there are always voices who want to hold on to the past.
James Connaughton, executive director of the White House Council on Environmental Quality. He says he's looking forward to running a re-election campaign that's based on the Bush administration's environmental record. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News.